We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on you porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck can pull a truck, hook him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to Springsteen.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know.
Where mama at?
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Let's just play Rocky Like a Hurricane for 4 hours. Get the hell out of here at 6 and pretend like yesterday never happened. Crank it up.
I'm usually not down with this. I'm in the day.
Holy hell.
Oh.
Wow, is there a lot to talk about when it comes to the Dolphins? And by the way, I just want to point this out at the beginning. It's a shame that the Dolphins' putrid play has to overshadow the brilliance of the Miami Hurricanes right now, because they look great. Cam Ward looks great. He is the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, according to Vegas. They have a game this Friday night at Hard Rock Stadium. They host Va Tech. And so we're going to talk Canes, and we're going to, you know, pay attention to the Canes this week. But we have to start with the Dolphins, because that was almost impossible to comprehend while you were watching it. Because my biggest problem, CC, and we talked about this last week when we tried to talk ourselves into Skylar Thompson. I said, he's been there 3 years. This is his third year. They have 10 days to prepare. Remember, Tua went down on a Thursday night. 10 days to prepare with the ones and Mike McDaniel, 10 days to prepare. So I'm having a really tough time figuring out how they thought Skylar Thompson was the best option after two seasons and then this preseason and this training camp and what you saw Thursday night. Like, I'm having a really tough time trying to mentally understand what I watched yesterday.
What they watched for 3 years. That was embarrassing. Like, literally embarrassing. I'm watching it with my son on the couch, and he's asking questions that I didn't want to answer because I felt bad. Daddy, why can they not do anything? Why don't they throw the ball deeper? Bro, I got you. It's just, it was bad. Skylar wasn't good. Then he was getting laid out. He doesn't know that there's guys on the other side that want to hit him. He doesn't know that they're chasing him. Is he a 7-on-7 quarterback? I don't know what was going on. It was embarrassing that they tried to run that same offense. Waddle and Tyreek were frustrated. I was frustrated. They have no power run game. Did you see, bro? I was calling out where the ball was going. When they have Ingold in the game and they motion the tight end over, I know exactly where the ball was going every single time. The Ingold little fullback handoff was the same that we saw in week one. We said that they have to adjust this playbook. We said they have to figure out what Skylar can do well. They simplified the playbook to a point of high school. I'm hot with Mike McDaniel right now about the plays he was calling.
He looked confused all day to me. The end of the first half was embarrassing. The fact that they're throwing a deep ball to Tanner Connor when you've got Tyreek Hill on the sideline,
you've
got to be bleeping kidding me.
Our offense was praying for pass interferences. We cheered. That deep ball to Ingold, me and Chan jumped off the couch cheering because that was probably the longest play of the day was a pass interference. It was embarrassing. People that have not watched the Dolphins, people on the West Coast that were waiting for the 4 o'clock game sitting in a sports bar, they watched the Dolphins and they were looking like, how in the hell did this team go to the playoffs year after year, 3 years in a row? How have they been to the playoffs? That was embarrassing on yesterday at 4 o'clock. I was listening on radio, and it didn't seem as bad as when I started watching it on TV. Then it really hit me how bad they looked.
That's because Jimmy doesn't do that great a job telling you what's going on. You know, he may have had them in the lead. I don't know.
Hey, Kata Kuhu was covering everybody.
He's Kuhu for Cocoa Puffs.
Kata Kuhu was locking down people.
These are a couple of my observations yesterday, okay? After yesterday, I'm of the belief that Tua is even more valuable than the contract that they gave him. Mm-hmm. I'm more convinced now that Tua is the reason that team sees any success. And I think Mike McDaniel got unmasked yesterday because I'm of the conclusion now Mike McDaniel needs Tua a hell of a lot more than Tua needs Mike McDaniel. That's where I am at after that game. A couple other things. The notion that if you have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, any quarterback can look good is patently absurd because our quarterback could not have looked worse.
Mm-hmm. Geno Smith was the best quarterback within 6 miles of that stadium last night.
Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer made a bad decision in keeping Skylar Thompson as their backup and not pursuing another quarterback during the preseason or training camp when it was pretty clear that neither of the quarterbacks, I'm not telling you Mike White was the answer. I'm telling you it was pretty clear that neither of those quarterbacks were the answer to back up Tua. And it was so evident yesterday. And instead of taking advantage of the time they had way back when to bring in a Ryan Tannehill, as suggested, or trade for a Josh Dobbs, as suggested, they didn't do anything.
Well, what about Andy Dalton? Did you see Carolina yesterday?
The Miami Dolphins have put up 33 points total in their three games this season. Andy Dalton put up 36 points yesterday. Carolina Panthers. That's a backup quarterback. Malik Willis, that's a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of backup quarterbacks who come in and they do fine. This looked like a team that didn't practice for 10 days leading up to this game. It literally looked like a team that had not prepared for 10 days. And I'm telling you, this Mike McDaniel looked confused. Confused to me. He looked confused. That trash at the end of the first half.
Well, it's ridiculous.
I don't know what I saw.
What is on that little piece of paper? Is it a Chinese takeout menu?
Well, what are you calling? I was thinking in the fourth quarter, he was holding his play sheet up to his mouth to cover his mouth. And I kept thinking to myself, no one's trying to read your lips, buddy. Because they don't want the plays. And they know what's coming.
Let them read your lips. Maybe you could throw them off if they think a word means something different. To your point, we talked about this last week. Malik Willis. What was Malik Willis? What did he throw the ball 13 times? They ran the ball. Green Bay just ran downhill and won a game. It's what we talked about. We argued about it when I said, I do not want the game in the hands of Skylar Thompson. I want them to run the ball. I want them to make him hit some third and sixes, some out routes, maybe a crosser or two. They do not have a consistent run game. Their cutesy little jet sweep stuff Load up and do something else. Whoop somebody's ass in front of you. That's what we're missing.
Here's the only thing that I'll say in opposition to that. Before the season started, you gave massive contracts to Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. This team is built to throw the ball to two stud receivers. That's what they're built for. Mm-hmm. So they may not have the power run game. And certainly without Mostert there, you know, that you're lacking that. But they're built to throw the ball. Their stars on offense are the two receivers. But they're throwing the ball to Tanner Scott or Tanner Connor, whatever the hell the guy's name is. Jimmy Connors. Durham Smythe can't catch a ball.
Oh, boy.
If his hands were made of Velcro and the ball was made of Velcro.
The back of the end zone, that would have changed the game.
I mean, he can't catch. He's dropped so many passes. This Julian Hill should be launched to Mars on the next SpaceX rocket.
Can he hear? Is he, I don't know, if does he have any ailments? Because there's no way somebody jumps off sides as much as Julian Hill.
This team.
And I just want to point out one thing. So everybody knows, before Solana talks here, how little he knows about anything. Before the season, he was all in on Bryce Young, and Andy Dalton blew that out of the water. Before the season, he was all in on Julian Hill. That guy stinks to high heaven. And before the season, there was one other. What was it? Julian Hill. Oh, before the season, he thought Calais Campbell was washed. That guy's been the star of the team.
He might jump on third down every now and again.
Go ahead, Solana. Give us your pearls of wisdom.
Thank you. Conveniently, you left out all of your pearls of wisdom from earlier in the season when you called this the greatest roster ever constructed in the history of the Dolphins organization.
And I still believe that as long as Tua's out there.
Guys, this
roster.
They're
a different team. They're a playoff team if Tua's out there. He has shown you how right I was about Tua. That's what I've learned from all this. I could not have been more right about Tua.
I think it's fair to say Tua makes this team better, obviously. This team, what you watched yesterday, is years of dysfunction building a roster. And whether you want to believe it or not, it's fine. But Crowder, I told you, this team can't run the ball, not because they don't have the guys to run the ball with. They don't have an offensive line. They can't get any push to run the ball. And what did they do yesterday? Despite McDaniel probably knowing what we all found out, Skylar Thompson's ass, they threw 20 pass plays and only ran the ball 8 times in the first half against a Seahawks team whose biggest struggle all around, offense or defense, is defending the run. And McDaniel knows that, but he also knows if he tries to ground and pound, his team isn't built for it. You lost half your offensive line yesterday, and they let every Seahawks rusher get to the quarterback 45% of the time. That's awful. This offensive line is a joke. It's an absolute joke, and they mocked us over it. The team is not built properly. They paid the wrong guys, and Tua Tagovailoa, as good as he is, isn't saving you from this disaster. It was obvious.
Yes, he is. Yes.
But with a bad O-line, though, if Tua's out there, he can complete passes. We saw
it
last year.
Gets the ball out quickly.
He gets the ball out quickly and number one in yards per game, number three in points per game. The offense runs when the quarterback can do it with this line. Do we have a paper-thin, graceful line? Yes. They were falling down like dominoes yesterday. He's hurt. Everybody has an injury. They're giving away injury like Oprah. But they have to figure out a way with Skyler. Sana, to your point, it wasn't at the end of the first quarter. They stopped the game on Thursday night. McDaniel knew that Skyler Thompson's going to be the starter. They had 10 days to prepare a football team, or hell, an offense, because I think the defense played well, especially early in the second half.
Yeah.
To prepare, you got 10 days to prepare an offense that's led by Skyler Thompson. Why wouldn't you do some team run? Put big ass Patrick Paul, whatever his name is, in there because he's 6'7", 330. Let him lean on somebody a little bit. Why was every run play the exact same run play every time? I would have had some tackles for loss. I was watching it, and when they had the fullback in the game and they motioned the tight end, I said, oh, the ball's going left. As soon as he moved, I said, the ball's going right there. I know where the ball's going. They're trying to run a double lead. Double leads don't work when you know they're coming, because now everybody's damn running towards all the people on one side of the ball. And then A-Chain tried to cut it back one time and got busted in his head by the defensive end, who wasn't the plan offensively. I think the
10 days. Plan offensively 10 days. That's what they came up with.
Week and 10 days.
Unbelievable. This Skylar Thompson doesn't realize that if he can't see someone coming towards him, there still might be people behind him or to his side. He thinks unless he can see them, people don't exist. It's like a goldfish. He's got goldfish mentality. They only see what's in front of them.
That's why deer's eyes on the side of their head, they have a bigger reference.
Send them to the Dolphins doctors and implant some eyes on the side of his head.
I'm on the sideline. Nobody's over here with me.
The end of that first half is so comical because he's scrambling for a good 7 seconds. Now, if you look at a breakdown of the play, there were no receivers in the end zone. If that's what he was looking for, that's not the play, apparently, that Mike McDaniel was running. Mike McDaniel was running some sort of different play that has to do with a Chargers game. I don't know what happened. But Tyreek Hill was even asked about it after the game, and he was like, yeah, I can only run the play that they tell me to run. Skyler seems like he's looking for someone to get to the end zone. No one's going to the end zone. I have never seen on a Hail Mary, like I've seen someone get sacked on a Hail Mary before. I've never seen someone be able to scramble for 7 seconds and then get tackled from behind during a Hail Mary. That was unbelievable to me.
Hawk, nobody ran to the end zone.
I know. They were 20 yards. The closest receiver was 20 yards from the end zone. 20 yards.
Why not just kneel it then? Like, if you're not throwing to the end zone,
either kneel or throw for a field goal. Obviously, they're not going to give you the sidelines, but whatever. If you're not comfortable throwing a Hail Mary, kneel and let's get it together for the second half. I don't know what the bleep was going on there. I don't know.
Crowder,
they had the hail and Mary got tired. She said, I ain't going way down there. Y'all kiss my butt. That last play was sad.
Listen, that was sad.
Listen, man, we can call Mike McDaniel an offensive guru all we want. You are in the worst possible situation without your quarterback. Now your backup has been hurt. You're still within one score. If you score a touchdown and your defense gives you the ball on the 5-yard line in plus territory, offensive gurus figure out with 4 downs to get points in that situation.
Ticket Wizard texted me when they got that turnover. Here comes a field goal. Before the Dolphins had lined up for first down, the Ticket Wizard had texted me, guarantee you field goal.
And
sure as bleep, he was right.
They couldn't get in.
Four plays. You're telling me you're an offensive genius. You have 4 plays to get 5 yards, and you can't figure it out in a dire situation? Get out of here, man.
After the interception, they were right there. The Sealer interception, they were right there. And it was first and goal from the 6. They couldn't score. They gave it to A-Chan twice right up the middle where I'm begging him to do that. They could not figure out a way to score. They did. Well, Durham Smythe can't catch. He might as well cut his hands off and just block people. But it was sad to watch them be that close to having a football game and not be able to score. Those 10 days were wasted. They should have gave them vacation. They should have went to Cancun.
They should have. You tell me what preparation. Did you see any preparation? 10 days worth of preparation left you with those 3 points? I mean, Mike McDaniel might have should have just come out to midfield, taken a dump, and left, flown home.
I know the score looks crazy. Defense was playing ball. Sacks, interceptions. Jalen was out there beating up people. Yeah. Jalen was bullying guys on the outside. There was some great defensive performances. That offense, I could have called a better offense.
It was really bad. Let's blaze through headlines because Mike Cuno is going to join us, but then he's got to go tape something. So I want to make sure we have enough time with him. Mercury Morris passed away yesterday. Legendary part of the perfect season and legendary part of Dolphins history. Mercury Morris, we'll talk about him today. That's a sad loss. Let's do headlines here quickly with Alejandro Solana. It's brought to you by Dorel Hyundai. At Dorel Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
The Canes do get overshadowed, and it's not fair. Hawks right. They routed USF. Cam Ward, better than any of us could have expected again.
I say he's the best quarterback in the state of Florida who plays football. I'm including Tua, Trevor Lawrence, and Baker Mayfield. All right, I got to throttle it back a little bit. But damn, he looks good, huh? He looks good.
I'm on the train this year. I'm allowed. You and Gino allowed me on the Canes train, so I'm on the difference. Yeah, you always go too far. Goodness gracious. He looked good. That game was tight early, and then it was just, we're better than you. We're more talented.
Yeah.
Two Monday Night Football games tonight. Bills Jaguars at 7:30. Bengals Commanders at 8:15. You can listen to Bills Jaguars on this station. We'll pick up that game after High School Sports Show at 8. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. A pretty decent afternoon in South Florida. Please pay attention, though. There is some activity in the tropics coming through the west coast of Florida in the next couple days. Something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, there's a big storm that's developing in the Gulf. And it's going to mean real wet weather for us on the right side of the storm. Probably wet weather for us tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. And it has a trajectory right now kind of from anywhere from Tampa up into the Panhandle. And we'll figure it out as obviously we get closer, but certainly something to keep an eye on. Mike Cugno from CBS4. He is going to talk Dolphins with us next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
Let's talk some sense with Mike Cugno. Please, guy has he's got a way of, you know, taking a macro instead of a micro look. All right. And by the way, there's a Canes game Friday. Get your Canes gear at Caneswear. Caneswear.com is the website, or go to Caneswear and Davie on University Drive. Make sure you look good Friday night. You're going out to the Rock. Mike Cugno, he hosts Dolphins Weekly Live on CBS4 and the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on CBS4. And he was tasked with processing that game yesterday, moments after it ended. I watched him and John Kinjemi. They did their best to kind of, you know, put it all into words, but they were like, we've at least had a night to sleep on it and a morning to read articles and go through tweets and whatever, but they were tasked with doing it right there in the moment. Cugno's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Where are you with what we've seen from the Dolphins through three games, I guess, Mike, but specifically what we all watched yesterday in Seattle?
So my concern with what happened yesterday in Seattle was looking at the rest of the NFL, because I look at the rest of the NFL and watch them get it done with backup quarterbacks. Outside the Dolphins, backup quarterbacks were 3-0 yesterday in their games, whether it was Andy Dalton, Malik Willis. I mean, even if you wanted to go even further down the line with Minnesota and Sam Darnold, because obviously we didn't know if the J.J. McCarthy thing would have shaken out in McCarthy's favor and he would have been the starting quarterback. But backup quarterbacks are winning in this league.
Justin Fields technically is the backup, I think, in Pittsburgh.
Right, Justin Fields. I think that's technically the third. So for me, it was like with the extra couple days to prepare and to offensively look kind of out of sorts. And it's not just the play calling. It's the pre-snap penalties. It's not being able to get plays off. There was a sequence there where it was four straight pre-snap penalties. I think they had to punt the ball like two or three times in a row just to officially get the play off. So to me, my concern is it's the preparedness for that moment. It took me back to a game against the Patriots years ago. I believe it was under Brian Flores, where Mike Gesicki is literally yelling at people on the line of scrimmage, trying to get people in the right place because people didn't know where they were going. They didn't know how to line up. And it just felt like a big step back to me, back to that moment where there was a lot of confusion and it didn't look like people were ready to play.
And Mike, can I guess panic last for 12 days? Because when Tua went out against the Bills, you saw, like, they really weren't ready not to run a Tua offense. And then my thing was, hey, they're going to come out, they're going to run the ball a lot, they're not going to put too much on Skyler. Hell, we had to see whatever his name was. But, like,
Tim Boyle?
Yeah, Boyle. Tim Boyle. My son loves saying Tim Boyle. He thought that was hilarious, saying Tim Boyle 100 times in a row. Well, Mike, like, they did not look prepared to not have Tua in the game. Tua talked about the quick release. Skyler thought he had 8 seconds every time he had the ball. Nobody was going to sack him. He was playing 7-on-7. Were they really ill-prepared? Because, bro, I'm not going to lie, Mike, I was more upset yesterday watching that game than I have been in a long time watching that offense.
Yeah, there was a moment, like, I think it was the first drive where Skyler drops back and hits, I think it was Jalen Waddle. It was a real quick outlet pass, and I was like, okay, so, you know, that kind of looked like Tua in there, where you snap the ball's out within a second, and you pick up a good chunk of yards, and you keep this thing moving. So there was a brief second, even then running the ball with Jalen Wright or Devon Achane, that first series, I thought, okay, this, you know, they might be okay here. But then the little things, the end of the, a lot of people are going to look at that last play of that first half and say, what was going on? To me, the concerning one was the play before where there was a penalty. So they had an untimed down. There's 8 seconds left on the clock and Seattle essentially baits the Dolphins into wasting all 8 seconds. They just drop back and, you know, sit back in a prevent defense, and Skyler sits back there and the ball, the clock essentially runs out on them. So there weren't an opportunity to get any points, whether it was a field goal or one more shot at the end zone. So there was awareness, stuff like that, that really concerned me when it came to that game.
Here's something interesting, and I don't know how you broach this if you're Chris Greer or Mike McDaniel. I'm watching Adam Schefter on Pat McAfee this morning, and Schefter says, hey, these Dolphins, like, they're all in this season. They gave big money to Tyreek and Tua and Jalen Waddle and Jalen Ramsey, and they extended Mike McDaniel. Like, they're all in, and their quarterback doesn't cut it. So they need to go out. And Schefter said, he goes, I'm not telling you any inside info. I'm just spitballing here myself. Ask about Russell Wilson. Ask about Zach Wilson. Went through a couple others. But here's the problem with that, Mike. If they now have to go searching for a quarterback, doesn't that mean Chris Greer is acknowledging that they were ill-prepared going into the season? That they had plenty of time to determine if it was Skyler or Mike White or neither of them? We all kind of thought that both of them stunk during the preseason games, and I saw from a lot of reporters that they weren't very good during a training camp. So Chris Greer would have to acknowledge that they were just completely ill-prepared or totally wrong, but the truth is they kind of do need to go out and find a quarterback, don't they?
Yeah, because the alternative is standing pat and, you know, it looking like, because here's the thing, if Tua doesn't come back this season, or it's more than the four games, then unless Tim Boyle is giving you something that looks really good, or Tyler Huntley, you know, can come out and do something that impresses you. My question is, does that become a quarterback battle there between those two moving forward if Skyler is out? But yeah, I don't know. To me, my whole thing earlier before the season started, the argument against going and getting a quarterback was it was so late in the process and you had a couple guys who had been in the system. Now I think if you do go out and get someone, and I think you should just to be on the safe side, you better find someone that knows the system. Because obviously yesterday, even for guys who've been in it for a number of years, it's not easy.
I don't know, Mike McDaniel knows the system.
Well, I don't know. There were, at the times it felt like maybe he was trying to show that I can get it done with Skyler, right? Like running the normal offense. But it wasn't even.
Spoiler alert, he cannot.
There was so much wrong with it. There was the deep ball to Tanner Connor. Everyone's asking what happened there. But if you look at that play, Jalen Waddle's running downfield too, and those two nearly collide. So it was as if two people there were running the wrong route and almost collided on that play. So there was
preparation,
like I said, there was, it seemed like there was a lot missing from yesterday's game plan.
And Mike, has McDaniel overlooked the run game? Because I can even go back to that tree. So Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, because this pissed me off yesterday. They went out there. Malik Willis threw the ball 13 times, and they won the game just running the ball. Kyle Shanahan, who started all this back in Atlanta, can run the ball downhill. Raheem Morris with Bijan Robinson, they stayed right there with the Chiefs running the ball. Have we overlooked the run game and tried to get too, as Hawk loves to say, I think we're a little too cutesy where we can't just load up and whoop nobody's ass, and that's what the other teams are doing and beating better teams, just running downhill.
Well, I think that was the frustrating part, is because when they were running the ball, it seemed like things were actually working. Like, they were able to get chunk plays. And it was a criticism earlier in Mike McDaniel's tenure with the Dolphins, getting away from the run play. And obviously that has to do with the fact that you do have some of these weapons and you'd like to get it in their hands. But unfortunately, I think even with Tua, this team was kind of trending into not being that quick strike offense anymore. They needed to learn how to sustain these long drives. And I just wish yesterday they made a commitment to it. Because again, on those first couple series early on, you're seeing these run plays and you're like, okay, maybe they have something here. Just stick with it. I mean, even in the second half when you're down two scores but have a chance to, you know, make this a ball game, I would have liked to seen them run the ball more. Now, again, part of the problem was they couldn't get off the line of scrimmage because of the penalties. So now they're in these first and long, second and long situations where their hands kind of force and they have to throw it.
Mike, where do you go from here if you're the Dolphins, if you're Chris Greer, if you're Mike McDaniel, assuming, you know, this quarterback situation doesn't get much better? But where do you go from here? How do you find your identity without Tua Tagovailoa? What should be their plan? Is it just kind of hope that this works itself out?
No, I think I think the hope is Raheem Mostert can come back and then they can really establish who they want to be in the run game, and they're gonna have to. It's got to be a run first, to me, a run first mentality until they figure out what's going on with the quarterback situation. They can go out and get whoever they want, but like I said, if you've got Tanner Connor and Jalen Waddle running downfield, colliding into each other on a deep route, what does it matter who's back there if the guys aren't even running the correct plays and right routes and can't even get off the ball? To me, that's where it starts with. You got to show accountability in that area before you can think someone's going to come in here and change it, because Skylar Thompson wasn't running that route. You know, like there's fair criticism to go around the entire team here on yesterday's loss. I think maybe they just got to simplify and get back to just running the ball where they can.
And Mike, the offense had everybody going. I honestly was more upset by that game than a long time of watching Dolphins. But defensively, I think, especially early in the second half, like I think they figured it out. Anthony Weaver started blitzing and stopped sitting in that damn zone and letting Geno Smith hit you for 8 or 9. Did the defense play well? If you want to take something, you know, something okay out of that game, I know the score didn't show it, but did the defense play well in your mind?
Yeah, look, if anyone wants one play back yesterday, it's Javon Holland, you know, kind of getting flat-footed on the deep pass to DK Metcalf. But looking at the entirety of the season, that defense in the second half of games has allowed 7 total points, 1 touchdown, 0 field goals. That defense, they may give up some points early, but they are, as the game goes on, they are giving you chances to win, despite whatever's happening offensively. Even in the Bills game, the touchdown they gave up in the second half was a pick six, and most of the points that came from the Bills in that game were either off turnovers or turnover on down. So you're talking about them being pushed back into the opponent's, you know, plus territory there. That's tough for any defense to do. But the fact that they've been this resilient and can pitch these shutouts or, you know, really close to shutouts in the second half, that's the positive you take from this team. And if your team identity is going to change to being a defensive team, that's fine. But I look at that side of the ball as a big positive right now.
Man, it's frustrating that you're three games into the season and you're trying to figure out, do we need to change the identity of the team when you're all in on what the identity was supposed to be? This is the maddening part of it to me, which is they really need help at quarterback, but they will be showing you their hand if they tell you the same thing, because they were adamant that the offensive line was okay, that Skylar Thompson was the right guy to be the backup. Like, they had myriad opportunities to address some of these glaring problems now. And if they all of a sudden have to start trying to tinker and fix with all this stuff after game three, they're telling you that they were ill-prepared or completely misjudged the personnel.
Yeah, but again, that's why I say yes, they have to figure out the quarterback position and whether or not they've made mistakes here. But yesterday was so much broader than just that. I'm not trying to pivot away from the quarterback, but there were so many.
Sounds
things.
Like you are.
No, but like.
Oh, we're not going to let you.
You said when I first came on here.
There's one person on this show who can pivot, and that's Crowder. That's because he's got Ryan Clark and Fred Taylor with him. You're legally, rolling with Bo Camper and Goldie.
But you said it when I came on that let's look at the macro. There was a lot going on in that game, and it wasn't just the quarterback. I'm not saying the quarterback thing wasn't an issue, but there was a lot of issues. There was a lot of reasons to point the finger in yesterday's game.
Okay, but Mike, even more to Hawk's point, I mean, who's that on? I know what you're saying. The team looked ill-prepared.
No, being prepared is on the coach. There's no question about it.
But macro, like, I'm talking about macro. I mean, the guys that they picked to come in here and do something that every other team is capable of doing, win without your starting quarterback, at least look competent without your starting quarterback. I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious who that's on. It's the coach.
You're
and the
saying
GM.
It's on Greer.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing. No one helped anyone yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? We're in agreement on that. I'm just saying there was a lot of blame to go around for that loss.
I thought it was glaring yesterday how much Tua means to the team. And I know maybe that sounds silly because most starting quarterbacks mean something to their team a lot more than other positions. But, like, he is the team. They didn't look like an NFL team out there. And the person they were missing was Tua and Teron Armstead. Anytime Teron Armstead goes out, the quarterback's about to go out.
There's a bunch of times I could think about this. When Brady tore his ACL, Matt Castle went 11-5. When Patrick Mahomes got hurt, Chad Henne won a playoff game. When Malik Willis right now in Green Bay, he's been there. He doesn't even have a house. He's living at a hotel, and he's won two football games as a starting quarterback. You have to adjust when your starting quarterback goes out, and they did not adjust at all to having Skylar Thompson, and they had 10 days. That's what upset me. It looked like, we'll just throw another guy here and run this offense. You can't do that in this league.
Yeah, no, I agree. You got to put them in. And it was something we talked about a lot in our pregame show is how does Mike McDaniel put Skylar Thompson in a position to be successful tomorrow, you know, today for the game. And we just didn't see that. And that's what's concerning if you're a Dolphins fan. And yes, there was no more glaring reason to have given Tua $250 million in what we saw yesterday, because those mistakes typically don't happen when Tua's in there.
Mike, I'm sorry I lost my temper with you. I feel terrible.
I don't understand, because we were agreeing on everything. So that's where
I just lashed out. I lashed out at anyone who was talking, and it didn't. You just happened to catch the brunt of it. I apologize. It won't happen again.
You're only 4 days away from a Hurricanes game, so, you know, just look at the bright side.
Yeah, you guys got to win. You guys got to win. You're Florida State Seminoles.
Mike, he got on his LL Bean quarter zip. Just take it
I'm
easy
feeling
today.
Good, man. I'm feeling, yeah, don't that, mess with
and
me
that,
today.
And that hurt my heart a little bit, because the Cal quarterback went to my high school, Christopher Columbus. So I'm a little, you know, that wasn't a good spot.
Did you see the Miami Cal game will start at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time?
I will be asleep by 11. So just give me the spark note.
All right, Mike Cugno, watch him on CBS4. We love you, Mike.
It doesn't feel like it today.
You guys have Monday Night Football?
We do.
The Dolphins game against Tennessee?
Pre-game, we have the game and the show. or in the postgame show. So yes, you can see it all on CBS Miami.
Very cool. All right, there you go. Yeah. Next Monday. All right, see you, Cuño.
See you guys.
All right, Mike Cuño from CBS 4.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.